Good morning, everybody. This is Howard Partridge. How's everybody doing? Go ahead and type in that you can hear me okay. All right. Thank you very much. Well, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the Dreaming webinar series. This all got kicked off at the Destined Dream Retreat. And that's why I have the Destin slide up here, because this all got kicked off in Destin, and the theme of the Destin retreat was your phenomenal dream determines your phenomenal destiny. You know, a man by the name of Frank Outlaw said this. He said, when you change your thinking, you change your beliefs. When you change your beliefs, you change your expectations. When you change your expectations, you change your attitude. When you change your attitude, you change your behavior. When you change your behavior, you change your performance. When you change your performance, you change your life. He also said, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. So your phenomenal dream determines your phenomenal destiny. And I think that all of us have a dream. All of us have a destiny in mind where we want to end up. And what this series is all about living your dream, reaching your dream, creating your dream, thinking about your dream, remembering your dream, remembering why it is that you went into business for yourself to start with, and to understand that it starts with your thinking. It starts with how you think about dreams. It starts with how you think about your life. It starts with what you think is possible and what you don't think is possible. And that is the subject of my book, which all of you guys have kind of a rough draft copy. It is complete now and it's being printed. We'll have it here in the next 30 days or so. But that is why I wrote this book. You all also know about the five levels of being a phenomenal person. I've shared this with you before. The first one is awareness. The second level is being willing to change. The third level is controlled attention. The fourth level is commitment. And the fifth is character. Why don't you jot those down real quick, because this is going to be important as we go through the dreaming process. Brian Tracy said, the law of concentration states that whatever you dwell upon grows. The more you think about something, the more it becomes part of your reality. So the idea here is I want when you finally determine what your dream is, and the thing is that many of you don't know what your dream is. And don't feel bad about that. John Maxwell wrote a whole book called Put Your Dream to the Test. They published the book, a major publisher. After he wrote the book and began to teach on it, and the book was already out there, he realized that most people couldn't test their dream because they didn't have a dream, and he had to go back and record a program after the fact to deal with that. And so I'm going to show you today, if you don't have a dream, if you don't have a clear, compelling dream, inspirational dream, then I'm going to show you what to do about that today. But the thing is that it starts with your thinking. And you've got to, once you determine what that dream is, you've got to think about that dream. You got to think about that dream on a regular basis, because that's going to determine where you end up. And as Brian Tracy says, the law of concentration states that whatever you dwell upon grows. The more you think about something, the more it becomes part of your reality. See, as you think about something, as you, whatever you allow your mind to dwell on is going to grow. It's like seeds. It's like, you think of your mind as a garden, and the thoughts that come into your mind are seeds. And as these thoughts come into your mind, and I was watching a program yesterday, a wonderful person who I'd like to meet one of these days, Dr. Leaf. I forget her first name, but she's an Australian woman, and I hear her on Christian television once in a while, and she's written a lot of great stuff on this. And in fact, she has these illustrations that when you look at your thought process and how your emotions and all the chemicals in your brain, how everything interacts, it looks like a tree. It looks like a plant. And so the thing is that you got to understand that your thoughts are seeds, and those seeds go into a very fertile ground. There's probably no more fertile ground than the human mind. And as I was watching this program, it said that the average human being has 30,000 thoughts a day. Well, if you are a believer like I am, then there's a lot about thinking in the Word of God, by the way. And it says to let your mind dwell on the things that are good, the things that are holy, the things that are above, not here on earth. And it also says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So your thoughts are seeds. Napoleon Hill said, your thoughts are seeds. James Allen said, your thoughts are seeds. And they're planted in this amazing, fertile soil. God gave us an amazing imagination. We can use that imagination for good, to reach our phenomenal dream, or we can use it for bad, to imagine all the bad things that could happen. And so one of the things, and I'm glad we're doing this webinar series, because I'll be able to maybe get a little bit, right from the beginning, just get a little bit more detailed about this. Of course, we're going to do four more weeks. We're going to do five sessions, including this one. I decided this morning that what I'm going to do is I want more people to sign up for this. It's for Inner Circle members only, by the way. And the reason for that is because you know me, you trust me, and I don't want to just bring some stranger in and start teaching them about dreams, because that relationship is not there yet, and they need to go through the process of that you went through, of assessing your business, thinking about your life goals, and those kinds of things. And I could be wrong on that, but it's for Inner Circle members only. I want to give more Inner Circle members a chance to get involved in this, so we're going to give them a video to watch, and then they'll be able to join us 2 weeks from now. So I'm going to do an extra session for you guys. We're going to do five sessions in all. And so this is one of five instead of one of four. So I'm going to be able to get more detailed and take you through this process step by step at the Destined Dream Retreat. Yes, we went through 2.5 days of process, but we talked about business plans. We talked about the team. We did sandcastle building, and there was a lot going on. So I want to congratulate those of you that were there that got a head start in the evening workshop, and you got a head start at the Destined Dream Retreat, and those of you that are joining us just for this webinar series. We'll be able to get detailed on it, because I think that once you understand, I know that once you understand and practice this idea of intentional thinking, it will change your life. Because we have a choice. We have a choice every moment in time of which thought we're going to allow to enter into our mind and to stay there. So think about it like this. You schedule a flight to go somewhere. And we're talking about your destiny. We're talking about your dream. We're talking about the fact that we only have one life to live. This is it. And some of us are more than halfway there. So, and I know that Neil is on here, and he's way more than halfway there. But guess what? You're never too young, never too old to dream. There's always new dreams that are there and waiting for you. But here's what we got to get. What we got to get is that we've got to build the habit of taking every thought captive. And so imagine that you're going somewhere. Imagine that you book a flight, you go down there to the airport. Well, first of all, you have to have a ticket, right? And then before you can get on that plane, you have to have a boarding pass, all right? So I want you to imagine that that airplane is your mind and that you are the thought, that you can't get, that thought can't get on that airplane without a boarding pass. So when a thought becomes, tries to enter your mind, you're the gate agent, and you have the opportunity to either reject that boarding pass. Now this boarding pass is negative. Only positive boarding passes get to come past here. Only positive thoughts. Now, we all understand that bad things happen, problems happen. Some of the folks that were down there in the Destined Dream Retreat, one of the team, part of their sandcastle building thing was they had an acronym called CRAP, and it was challenges. I forget what it all it was. Challenges, something else, adversity, and problems, or something like that. Challenges, resistance, adversity, and problems, I think it was. So you're always going to have that. You're always going to have problems in life. You're always going to have crap in life. But how you think of it, how you react, how you respond, how you recover is what is important here. I was just reading Jeffrey Gittimer's book, which I've had for a long time and just never got into it and started reading it. He has a book on leadership. He normally writes on sales and customer service, but he wrote a leadership book. And so I decided to start reading that. And one of the things that he was talking about is that leaders have the ability to react properly, to respond properly, and to recover properly. You see, I was right before that, I was reading through the DISC book, which every single one of you have to have. It's gonna become like one of our standard operating procedures, that part of initiation, part of orientation, part of the curriculum, if you will, is reading that DISC book. We all know about DISC, and you've heard about DISC, and you know, maybe you've taken the second step beyond the 5-minute quiz that we do, and gotten an online profile, or ordered a DISC classic book or whatever. But this is an actual book, very easy read. And I remembered when I got this book that this was the first guy, Dr. Robert Rome, that I learned DISC from, and that I adapted my whole presentation on early on. So you must get that book. And it's called Positive Personality Profiles. Positive Personality Profiles, Dr. Robert Rome. So the reason I bring that up is because when you are out of control in your particular profile, in your particular personality, in your particular behavior style, you're going to automatically react to something, you see? And when you begin to adjust and you begin to understand that if I'm a high D off the chart and I'm just reacting, I'm just blowing off then I've got to understand what that's going to do to me. You see, and this goes all the way back to, this goes all the way back to thinking. We can't talk about dreaming without talking about thinking and talking about concentration, the law of concentration. Napoleon Hill, in his book Think and Grow Rich, talked about the law of concentration. Now, where the five levels come into play here is anytime that you are pursuing a new idea, you are trying to develop a skill, you're trying to replace a habit, you're going to automatically go through these five levels of change, these five levels of being, these five levels of becoming a different person. And as Zig said, before you have something different, like before I can reach a dream in my life, I have to do something different. There's a few things that I've learned about dreams. One is that you can reach your dream. So that changes my expectations. It changes my thinking. It changes my attitude. It changes my behavior. Number two, sometimes dreams are hard. The dream is very inspirational, or can be, should be, but the goals to get there are hard. Sometimes your dreams come true early. Denise and I, you guys have heard about, you know, my dream, and I'll share a little bit about it again, my dream beach. But another dream that we had came early. And that is that Denise decided to quit her job and come to work with us, which hasn't happened yet, which is that's the other lesson in dreams, is that, you know, sometimes they take longer than you think. But this one apparently is coming early. So sometimes your dreams come earlier than you think. Sometimes they come later than you think. So because of that, we thought, well, we can spend more time in Destin, so why not get a little house down there where we can have a little more room, we can take our dogs down there and have a little more comfortable place to stay until we build that house on that dream property. So that was a dream that came early. But here's the other thing that I've learned about dreams. Going back to Zig Ziglar, if you want to have something different, you have to do something different. But in order to consistently do something different, you have to be something different. Because we won't do inconsistent with how we see ourselves and what we think the possibilities are. So being aware of these five levels of being, I'm aware, I'm willing to change, I'm willing to do the things that I need to do, I'm willing to give up some of the habits that are holding me back. Level three is what we call controlled attention, where that's, you have the power of focus. I'm very focused, I'm more than interested, and the longer I stay focused on that goal, focused on that dream, focused on that new habit, focused on the why do you want to do what you want to do? Why do you have that dream? What's behind that dream? You see, then the more committed I become. And as you stay in that process and you get some confidence, you get some traction, you start getting a few hits, then you stay even more committed because you have confidence. And then finally is character. And you never know if you're truly at that character level until you are completely tested. You know, in my quest for health, you know, I thought I was at the character level. I thought I was at level five, but I wasn't. You know, I became aware that I was lethargic and just completely no energy, overweight. And talk about lack of awareness. I mean, don't eat breakfast, drink a lot of Starbucks coffee, eat lunch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, barely maybe. And then you get home and you're famished and you eat everything in sight. chips and salsa and pickles and pork chops and potatoes. And then, you know, that's not enough. So you have some ice cream and with bananas and chocolate sauce. If you know anything about health, if you're even just a little bit aware, you know that that's just a recipe for disaster. And somehow that was okay with me as long as I felt okay to get by. But then I didn't feel okay anymore, and I was willing to change because there was enough pain there. Sometimes we don't change until we get desperate enough to change, until there's a lot of pain, you see. The only reason we change is through to avoid pain or the hope of gain, either through desperation or inspiration. So I was desperate. And unfortunately, today we have a high tolerance for pain. There's something called medication. You know, there's something called losing ourselves in entertainment and unfortunately alcohol and drugs and everything else that can deaden the pain. And so we have this huge high tolerance of pain. And then if we have money to fund all that, then it's, you know, can be another situation, you see. So we got to be willing to change, either through desperation, either pain, or through inspiration, that hope of gain, and that real hope of gain. Well, I went from desperate to inspired because then I realized that, you know, hey, I could lose some weight. I could, you know, I could get healthy. And I stayed focused. I was committed, and I worked out 3 times a week. And then I decided to quit training. I got bored with my trainer. And guess what? I fell all the way back. Well, not all the way back. I still ate pretty good and all that. And I'm almost back. I found out that I absolutely can't stand to do strength training. I don't care who it is that I'm doing it with. I just absolutely hate it. So as you go along, see, as you're learning about yourself, as you're learning and asking that question, why do I want this dream, number one? Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I not do the things that I should do? Why do I feel the way that I feel? Why am I thinking how I'm thinking? What's going on inside of me? And the more that you think, when you change your thinking, you change your life. Your thoughts determine your destiny. The more you think about it, the more you step outside of yourself and observe your behavior, you can start asking yourself those questions. Where did that come from? And guess what? It may come from something that I picked up when I was a kid, like a germ on the street. You see, we have something called our conditioned identity. The identity that we live out is the identity that we have been, that we have received over a lifetime. We can't get those negative thoughts out of our mind. We can't, you know, develop that positive self-image. I was fascinated yesterday, absolutely fascinated, as I watch, during the day, we have the television on the Christian station downstairs. And so as I'm working at home, you know, I'm in and out of my office and go down for water or lunch or whatever. And so I'm always catching Joyce Meyer. I'm catching Creflo Dollar. And sometimes I catch some of James Robinson, who I listened to when I was a kid. And I just love those programs, especially Joyce and Creflo. They talk about what's happening in your mind and having the mind of Christ and what that, see, most people don't really realize who they are. And as I was watching this program, James Robinson, he had Nick Vujicic, I think is the way you pronounce his last, I don't know how you pronounce his last name. Tom had him on, had him at Ziegler, not too. He's the little guy that has no arms and no legs. And I've seen a few interviews with him, but I was just fascinated as I watched Nick talk, and he was talking about being bullied as a kid, you see. And he was talking about his self-image and how he wanted to commit suicide when he was a kid. Even though his parents told him and nurtured him and told them that they loved him and that God loved him, these bullies got to him, got to his mind. Those seeds got through and had him believe. See, it's all about what you believe and what you believe internally, not even necessarily consciously, because those seeds are doing stuff in the soil that you don't even realize. But he said something that was amazing. I mean, I was just captivated. And he said something that was amazing. He said, you know, when my wife was expecting our child, he said, he has like a little teeny tiny part of a foot, you know. He said, I put my foot on her stomach and I love that child. I love that child before I ever met that child. Why? Because he was mine. And that's why God loves you, simply because you're his. If we ever get that, if we ever get that, it changes everything. And so we go through this process of being aware of who we are, being aware of what we do, how we do it, why we do it, why we think the way that we think. Why do I do the dumb things that I do sometimes? And that's what I love about DISC, is really becoming aware. Self-awareness is the first step. You know, if you want to become skilled at a sport or any kind of skill, it starts with awareness. You know, I started playing basketball and I was so bad that these guys that I play with are absolute saints. Because, I mean, literally, and still sometimes I just forget what I'm doing and I do just stupid, crazy stuff. But I had no awareness. I had no awareness whatsoever about where other people were on the court, what I was doing, what I wasn't doing, and I wouldn't have gotten better unless I was willing to change, unless I was controlled some attention to how I'm dribbling. Is my head up or not? How I'm standing when I shoot the ball? Who's where? And I was committed to it, am committed to it, because I love to play basketball. It's great exercise. I wish I could play every day. And see, I just became aware of something. Did you catch it? Something that I just said, I wish I could. Why can't you? Of course you can. But you just have to make that a goal. You have to make that a priority. Well, then what happens is you get skilled. You, whatever you do day in and day out becomes a habit, you see. And we go back to what Frank Outlaw said here, and that is that your actions become habits. Your habits become your character. That's who you are. And your character becomes your destiny, you see. So as I stay committed to what it is that I want to do long enough, I'm going to change. Zig Ziglar said in Born to Win, which is another one of our foundational books that you want to be intimately familiar with in the inner circle, he said that desire is the number one ingredient for success. That if you don't have desire, then you're just not going to be as successful as you could be. And then he talks about, where does desire come from? To understand how desire connects with planning, you have to understand, planning to win, you have to understand how desire is created. Desire is created when something happens in your life that suddenly changes the way you see yourself in relationship to your future, your dream, your winning in life, your destiny. When I first started my company, I was a 23-year-old waiter, and I saw this kid who was the same age as me in New Jersey, and he's driving around a little red Mercedes convertible. I couldn't get that image out of my mind. In fact, I acted immediately. As soon as I got back to Houston, we had $3,000 and we never had that much money in our bank account. I started my first business. Why? Because I saw this guy in a little red Mercedes convertible, my age, whatever he can do, I can do. And doesn't sound that hard to do what he does. And so I started my business. But it was that vision of that lifestyle, tooling around in that little red Mercedes convertible. When I got healthy, I had a bad image in my mind that caused me to change, a desperate image of being crippled and on all this medication and not being able to do the things that I wanted to do. It made me desperate enough. I felt bad enough. And what was worse is the vision that the nutritionist put in my mind. So desire, you could say desperation is born with some kind of a vision. So what kind of vision are you putting into your mind? Zig Ziglar said, you inevitably move toward the strongest impression in your mind. The impressions that are most vivid in your mind are the things you want to do. That's why desire is so powerful and plays a big role in planning. When you constantly think about something, you talk about it all the time, you get lots of new ideas and about how to make it happen. You talk about it all the time. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Now, here's the cool thing. The cool thing is you can intentionally decide what you put in your mind. You can intentionally put inspirational images in your mind and ignore the negative. Kill the negative self-talk. I'm not saying that it's easy, but here's the thing, that we are conditioned emotionally, and 90% of what human beings do is emotional chatter that's coming from who knows where, and we got it from who knows where, probably something that happened to us, something that we were told. And, you know, I am just amazed sometimes at the tragic things that some people have been through, and they still have a positive attitude. I'm not sure. I mean, I've been able to do a lot of really cool things, and I haven't had the kind of problems and the kind of challenges that some people have had. And I'm just so amazed and impressed at how people overcome some of these challenges. One of my best friends, his name was Ray Davis, and the guy had MS, and he was just chained to his bed, not literally chained, but bedridden for over 10 years suffering from this disease. He couldn't move anything on his entire body. I mean, his hands were all stiffened up, and his feet and his whole body. The only thing he could move was his lips. And the last time I saw Ray Davis alive, he wanted to pray for this nurse that had come in the room. I mean, he made you feel so good when you came to his bedside. And so here I am holding the hand of this nurse on one side and holding Ray's, you know, hard, gnarled up hand in the other and praying for this nurse with my friend Ray. So you've got to live your life according to the vision that you have, not according to the circumstances that you might be going through right now. And I'm telling you, if we just focus, if we focus on the goal, if we focus on the dream, if we focus on the positive, then we'll do better. As Tom likes to say, quote his dad, that you can't do anything with a positive attitude, but you can do everything better. Do we really believe that we are born to win? Zig, of course, said you're born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, expect to win. I'm not going to plan to win. I'm not going to plan if I don't believe that I can win. We give up before we even start because we don't even think it's possible. And the more that we do, the more that we accomplish, the more that we realize is possible. What's the difference between planning and preparing, by the way? Planning is drawing it out, drawing that vision and putting those goals out there. Preparing is training. It's like training for a fight, see? And we have to train ourselves. We have to train our mind. We have to develop the skill of intentional thinking, intentional dreaming. John Maxwell is writing a book right now called Intentional Living. The title could change, but being in his mentoring group, we get to be the very first ones to hear about those kinds of things and first ones to get a copy of the book probably before it even comes out. And we get to learn those things before other people do. And his whole passion right now is transformational leadership, but it's all about being intentional about the impact that you want to make, intentional about the life that you want to live, intentional about your dream, intentional about the person that you're going to be. In John Maxwell's book, Put Your Dream to the Test, he says, a dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, will, and emotions, empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it. I sent out a little handout for you guys to Michelle to send to you. It's a little PDF. If you want to print it out and fill it in according to what I'm teaching you today, you can. Some of you guys did that in Destin, and so you have some of this. Tom Ziegler said that dreams are the edges of the puzzle of your life. See, that dream is a picture. And when you start putting the pieces together, when you start planning it, what do you start with on a puzzle? You start with the edges. Okay, I'm not sure exactly how this picture is going to look like, what it's going to look like or how it's going to look, but let me start kind of piecing it together. And that's what we're going to do in this series, is we're going to start kind of piecing it together. And guess what? In the middle, you may not know exactly what it's going to look like because there's something called life. There's something called crap. There's something called dreams coming early. There's something called getting a new dream. There's something called, well, I reached that dream and not really what it was that I wanted. There's something called missing it. And so that picture, we may never know exactly what it's going to look like. And it could change, but we do need to have a picture. We need to have a picture in our mind because that inspiring picture is what fuels your life. That movie that you're playing in your mind, that vision of the life that you want to live, the difference that you want to make, that and many of us can't even get that picture. So I'm going to show you a very easy way to fix that. I love what Henry David Thoreau said. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've imagined. Sometimes I look at that and I think to myself, I don't know that I can really do that. To really and truly live the life that I've imagined is sometimes scary. I mean, after all, who do you think you are? But he said, when you do, if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. You see, most people today, they don't plan to win. They don't prepare to win because they don't expect to win. They don't expect to win. The success that you and I can have is unexpected in common hours because most people don't believe that they can do it. They won't even try, but you're different than that because you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know what you can do. What one man can do, another can do. This movie I watched one time called The Edge with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin. I love a quote from that movie. Anthony Hopkins was a billionaire and Alec Baldwin was a photographer, and they had gone up to do this photo shoot in the Alaskan wilderness, got in a little plane crash, one of those little seaplanes, and survived the crash. And Alec Baldwin, the photographer, was convinced that they were going to die in the wilderness. They were hungry, they were cold, they were chased by a man-eating bear. And Anthony Hopkins had read books on how people survived in the wilderness. And he decided that he was going to focus on nothing else but how to survive. See, you got to stay focused. You got to stay committed to what you, because otherwise, what's the alternative? If we don't plan and prepare, if we don't plan, if we don't water, if we don't pursue it, we know we have a 100% chance that we're not going to reach that goal. 100% chance. But at least if I try, at least if I do some things, at least if I move and advance confidently in that direction, I'm going to find something that I didn't have. Even if I don't reach the goal, even if I don't reach the dream, I'm going to become a different person. And by the way, I want to pause also to say this. Sometimes when we talk about intentionally dreaming, intentionally thinking, pursuing our goals, we can get unhappy. And we can become ungrateful. And so another thing that we want to do is we want to balance our thoughts with, I'm grateful for what I have, but I'll never be satisfied with who I become. And the better I become as a person, the more good that's going to happen in my life. So as I pursue these dreams, I am happy and content with what I have. The one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. If you don't have a clear vision for the life you want, you won't build the right kind of business. See, the fact is that the type of business that you have is every decision that you make in your business, every aspect of your business is going to have some kind of impact on your personal life. So you want to be clear about the life that you want first so that you can design the business around your life. You don't design your life around the business. You design your business around your life. Now, I know that for many of us, we've already gone too far down the wrong road that we've got to redo some things to ever make that a reality. But here's the other part of that. No matter how far down the road you are, you still have to do this. You have to get a vision for your life before you're going to really be able to make any good progress in changing your business. In Awakening the Entrepreneur from Within, Michael Gerber, and I would say that The E-Myth by Michael Gerber is another book that is a foundational required reading, if you will, in the inner circle. Awaken the Entrepreneur probably should be and certainly is when it comes to dreaming and being an entrepreneur, because as Michael says, most people who go into business for themselves, they are technicians. They know how to cut hair, or they know how to clean carpet, or they know how to do plumbing, or they know how to do credit card processing. They know how to do the technical work of their business. They're not entrepreneurs. And in many cases, they're not even a manager, but somehow within that person, there is an entrepreneur asleep at the wheel there somewhere. And so this whole book, the E-Myth, was all about the visionary, the manager, and the technician, and how all three of those were important in order to be successful in business. But most business owners, we start out as technicians, and then maybe we start learning how to become a manager, but we rarely learn how to become an entrepreneur. So he wrote this book, Awaken the Entrepreneur Within, and he says in this book that there's four things that you got to have. Number one, you got to have a dream, you got to have a vision, you got to have a mission, and you have to have a purpose. The dream, in Michael Gerber's mind, is what he calls the impersonal dream. That's the impossible dream. That the personal dream is, I want to, you know, live on the beach. The impersonal dream is, I want to have an impact on the world. I want to change the world. And he said to make the dream impossible. The dream is something that you'll never, ever achieve, but it gives you so much energy, so much inspiration, so much enthusiasm that it'll cause you to at least create a vision that's big enough, that is achievable, that will help you realize at least some of that dream. And then the mission is, of course, what you have to do to make that vision a reality. And the purpose is why you do it. Why do you do what you do? So Michael says that your dream is more important at this point than your vision, more important than anything else. Your dream is everything. A vision is comprised of your primary aim or life goal, is what we call it, and your strategic objective. The first is the vision for your life. The second is the vision for your business. Together, these two visions become the driving force for the growth of the company. I've shared with you guys my dream of owning a lot in Stallworth. This is the Dream Beach. This is the other end of where we were at the Destined Dream Retreat. Topsail's on one side, and there's 3.5 miles of unspoiled beach. You know that I worked on this dream for 14 years, and when it came down to it, that someone else came in and bought it as I was trying to buy it. And it was off the table. It was the last lot left. I'd been working on it 14 years. It was my dream. Been talking about it for 14 years. And because I didn't give up, I was able to acquire that property. And I know I've kind of confused you guys by going and buying another house, but that was called a dream come early. And Denise and I have dreamt of Stallworth. And every time I go down there, I go and walk this beach. For whatever reason, at about right there on this beach, I just get the most energy and the most creativity. And that's where I go to think and to plan and write. And so my goal now, of course, we acquired that property in a few years ago, is in the next couple of years, we'll build a house there. And that way we can just walk out on that beach and we can have some of you guys out there as well. So the point of that story is, never give up on a dream just because of the time it will take to accomplish it. And this is why Earl Nightingale says, the time will pass anyway. So what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do? You know, we could just try to enjoy every day and have fun every day. And, you know, but the thing is that that's just, it's not that meaningful. You see, And so we've got to have a dream that inspires us. We've got to dream big. But what if you don't have a dream? You know, what if you're like that goldfish that wishes he was a shark? What you want to do instead is get your will of life out, all right? And you use this tool. If you don't have a clear, compelling dream like, man, I want to live on the beach or whatever it might be. And I'm talking about your personal dream right now. We'll talk about the impersonal, impossible dream here in just a minute. But you just don't have that in your mind. I'm blessed because I'm a dreamer. I don't know where that came from. I don't know how I got it. But I've always been that way. I've always believed that I could do more than other people could. There was no reason for me to believe that. I'm sure that I had a very poor self-image, but somehow I just thought to myself, if I do this, this, and this, I can probably make something happen. And so when I was 15 years old, I got a job at the grocery store and I was making more per hour than my mother was. And I thought, okay, well, I can do this. But then that same, you know, personality caused me to quit that job and go to a Rolling Stones concert in New Orleans at the Superdome. Just crazy, crazy man. But somehow I've just always been a risk taker. I've always said, okay, if I walk into a room, here's how this room could be better. Everything that I do after I do it, I say, here's how it could be better. I've always had that. I don't know where that comes from. And I know that that doesn't come natural to many people. And there's a lot of, you have to understand too, to be a hopeless dreamer, that there's a lot of destruction that can happen in the wake. And so I want you to intentionally dream, to be smart dreamers, to have that dream that you're going for that inspires you. Whether you ever get it or not is not even the point. It's what you become. Zig Ziglar said, it's not what you get when you achieve your dream or achieve your goal or reach for your goal, but it's what you become. You're going to become a different person. By reaching for my dreams and getting out there a little bit, I'm able to help our members and clients a little bit more by going out and maybe doing some things that are a little bit maybe out there. One time I had a big dream. I don't even remember what it was now. I should have written it down, but I mean, I just had this big vision. And that's the other thing, is that when I go to the beach and I sit there and I just sit and think for a long time, I get these visions, and sometimes they're very, very powerful. I remember one time I was in Destin, it was July 4th, and I was reading in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich about how America was formed, and I was just getting all these amazing visions and writing them down in my journal. But one day I'm standing in my kitchen, I get a doozy. I mean, this was a big one. I had my hands up in the air, and I was telling Denise, you know, I got this dream and that dream, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And Denise is standing there with her hands on her hips, tapping her foot, saying, yeah, I got a dream too of you clearing out that dishwasher right there so I can load it. So sometimes impossible dreamers like myself can get out of balance until we learn that staying balanced and focused and keeping everything together might help us to get to that dream quicker, because a high D off the charts is D stands for destruction. And, you know, I just about lost all of my dreams because I was too high D off the chart. And I had to learn to adjust and to be patient and to save my money and to be profitable and all those kinds of things. So if you don't have a dream, here's what you're going to do. What you're going to do is You're going to take this wheel of life and you're going to first start with this thinking. This thinking. The thinking is, the belief is, see, when you change your thinking, you change your beliefs. So if you think about it, let me ask you this question. You have seven core areas of life here on the wheel of life: physical, family, mental, financial, spiritual, career, and personal. Which one of these areas were you created to be unsuccessful in? Now, we may have physical conditions that we're born with that, you know, mess us up. My personal belief is that we're born into a fallen world. We're born into sin, so that causes a lot of problems for us. But if we're born to win, if we're supposed to win, then which of these areas are we not born to win in as much as possible in the environment that we're in? As Zig would say, are there things that I could do in these areas in my family or business life or financial life that would make things worse? In my physical life, I shared it earlier, are there things that I can eat that will make my physical condition? Are there things that I can not do that affect my physical condition? Absolutely. So it stands to reason, as Zig says, that you can have a positive impact in your life and the choice is yours. So when you come to believe that all of these areas, that as much as it depends on me, I can, and with God's help and other people's help, the help of my community. And when I say community, I mean the close people around me, my inner circle, the people who have influence in my life. That's a key part that we just, most people don't have today. The way that we live our lives today, we don't have people who will support us, encourage us, and challenge us and hold us accountable. See, I'm held accountable by my team. I let them speak into my life. I asked them, you know, I shot a crazy video the other day, just having fun. Victoria was doing a video and I said, let me just do something fun real quick. And Santi said, nah, you don't need to be showing that. Michelle said, you ought to show the inner circle members at least, because they know you, love you, trust you, you know. Anyway. So I was just having some fun, but I let them give me input. I didn't do that before. When I was an out of control, off the charts D, I mean, it was my way or the highway, just get out of my way. I know what I'm doing. But then I started becoming aware, painfully aware, that, huh, Howard, you got some blind spots. Maybe you should be willing to change and let some other people speak into your life. So when you look at these areas and you start putting some dreams to it, if you've gone through the Ziglar Legacy goal setting, then the exercise is to take this wheel, and you can do this, just get your wheel of life out. I know you have plenty from all the stuff that we've given you. And beside each one of these spokes on the paper out here to the right, just start writing down some dreams. They don't even have to be measurable goals yet. Just start writing down some dreams in each of those areas. You know, financial, put your wildest dreams out there. Just whatever it is. Career, put your wildest dreams out there. Personal, put your wildest dreams out. Family, and all seven areas. Just put some dreams out there. Just dream. And let me ask you this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, you were a borderline 11 would you feel like that you're living a dream? If financially you were on a scale of 1 to 10, an 11, if you're so physically fit, you just can't hardly contain yourself. If personally you're doing all the things that you love to do and the work you did is just perfectly suited for you, loved every minute of it, that you are a phenomenally spiritual person, you knew just every day felt God's love and let Him work through you, that you were a phenomenal spouse, father, mother, aunt, uncle, sibling, child, whatever it is, and that you felt like you were really learning the things and really using your mind to the point that this is going to take you somewhere. That you felt like a borderline 11 on all seven areas of life. Would you feel like you're living a dream? Because the fact is if you do that, you're probably living out some dreams, right? And I call that living in freedom every day. Living in freedom every day. Let me give you some tools, and then I'm going to give you some homework and get some feedback from you. The first thing that you want to have is a vision board. You might have a vision folder. You might have a vision board. You might have... you want to have those inspiring pictures. One of my first vision boards, when I just knew that I wanted to have a place in Destin, I didn't care if it was a postage stamp. I didn't care if it had vinyl floors. I didn't care if it had air conditioning, if it was just some place that I could sleep. And during this time, as I was dreaming about that, I had tremendous problems in my business. I had a lot of debt. I could have been in a situation where I would have to get rid of my management team and be working that business day in, day out. And again, grateful for it. Nothing wrong with that. Just wasn't my dream. My dream was to be doing what I'm doing now and have that place on the beach. And so my vision board was this poster of the Seaside Post Office, and there was a movie playing in my mind. Denise and I were riding our bikes around Seaside. There was a little basket on the front. And I went and bought this condo. I won't tell you the whole story, but I bought this little condo. Got a great deal on it, 60 seconds from the beach. And I wasn't even thinking about it at the time. I was just focused on getting it done. Guess what? It's a mile down the road from Seaside. And when we're there, what do? We ride our bikes around Seaside. And yes, has a little basket on the front. And then, of course, we got Stallworth. And then as soon as our house, we're going to close our house in 2 weeks. But the landscaping isn't done. They're finishing the inside and all that. And so as soon as that's done, I'll get you some pictures of that. Hey, you might even want to have a dream quilt. I got this from Bruce and Joanna. Her sister makes quilts. And after we left the Destin Dream Retreat last year, she saw me riding my bike home and just big smile on my face. And she had this quilt made for me. And so this is a source of inspiration. You know, it's a picture of my dream. And of course, you all know what my impersonal dream is, my impossible dream. And that is that every business owner on the planet would live in a sense of community. And what I mean by that is that they would have the support, the encouragement, and the accountability that they need to live in freedom every day. I was reading Jeffrey Gittimer's book, The Little Book of Leadership, I think it's called. It's an orange book. And I was just reading that this morning. He said, if there's a lost secret, if there's a lost secret in leadership, it's got to be encouragement. People don't get the encouragement that they need. What did Zig say? He said that encouragement is the fuel that people run on. If we can encourage you to pursue your dream, encourage you that you can have a good business, that you can have a good life, you can have good relationships, you can be physically fit, you can be financially successful, you can do the work that you love in your business and not have to do the other. But here's why this dream is impossible. In the fallen world that we live in, the way that we live, the way that human beings are, is it ever going to occur that small business owners live in this sense of community where they're supported and they're encouraged and they're accountable and they live in freedom every day? Not hardly. But if we have a vision, which we do, of 200 cities, of 50 business owners in all 200 of those communities meeting locally in a small group, that vision is very doable. And there are people on this call today who are helping me do that. We've got a good start. We've got almost 300 members around the world meeting virtually. You guys are with us right now. It is possible. And as far as I can see, this is going to be the work that I do for the rest of my life. I'm called to small business owners. So if I ever get tired, if I ever get discouraged, if I ever just think, dang, you know, I don't want to get on another airplane, like John Maxwell says, this is what I think about. This is what I look at. I have a whole folder of just things like this that inspire me. I remember why I do what I do. And you need to have the same thing. You need to have something in front of you that will inspire you. You want to have something in front of you that will give you the fuel, that will give you the motivation to do the hard work of working through the crap. Sherry, thank you for that acronym, by the way. Man, I'm going to be using, I've always loved saying crap, and now I can say it legitimately without it being kind of a cuss word. You want to also, so you want to have a vision board. Start collecting some pictures. I want to see your vision board. These, you guys, the reason I love doing these smaller workshops is because I can get a little bit more feedback from you, you know, and send me your vision board. Take a picture of it. Send it to me. And if you'll give me permission to share it with just this group, I'd love to put it in some of the future PowerPoint slides. But another exercise is your perfect day, to write out what you do in the morning when you get up, where you wake up, who you're with, what you do every day, why it matters, how it makes a difference, and have a vision for that. Because remember that human beings do what human beings see. What you see in your mind is what you're going to take action on. Watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits. That becomes your character. Watch your character because that becomes your destiny. And then finally, you want to have a dream list or a bucket list. We watched a little clip of this movie and it was really cool because several people came up to me and said, hey, I went and rented that movie last night or bought that movie last night after we showed the clip of it. But in your planner, in your Ziegler planner, on the very in the very front, there is a place for your dream list. When you get fuzzy, when you get discouraged, go look at your dream list and look at your top four, your phenomenal four projects. Zig Ziglar said, how you see your future is much more important than what happened in your past. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. So do your vision board. Let's have a little bit of sharing. We've got about 5 minutes left. Share one thing that's on your bucket list, whether you find it easy or difficult to dream, and whether it's easy or not, why do you think that is? And just go ahead and type that in real quick. And while you guys are typing that in, Susan, the answer to your question, sometimes people get discouraged working toward their dream. And I said, remember this, I'm grateful for what I have. And then what did I say after that? But never be satisfied with your personal growth. Never be satisfied with who you are becoming. Awesome. Someone said, Glocal, thank you so much for that. Buy an Airstream and travel the USA. A boat on a lake. Love it. Someone said, kind of medium on dreaming. Not hard, not easy, but somewhere in the middle. Rent the dream house at the Namali Resort in Fiji and share it with our daughter and son-in-law. Wonderful. Family vacation. Go to New Zealand. Easy to dream. Probably just a creative streak. There you go. Someone said easy to dream. Not as easy to visualize. For me personally, I think the visualization of my physical condition is so far away from where I am, it's hard to see. Skydiving is on my bucket list. More travel with my husband. Travel to Europe. Right now, yes, family problems. One of my dreams is for someone in our family to take over our business. And I'm keeping these a little bit vague because I don't want to share anything with the group that I haven't gotten your permission for. I will share this one because this one has been made public. Mr. Luis Hernandez, 3 months helping others in the islands. And actually, he got that bucket list this past year. And so my bucket list is to share those 3 months with you there, brother. Let me close with a little bit of inspiration to always remind you that you are phenomenal. Remember, when someone says, who do you think you are? You just say, I'm a phenomenal product created to be phenomenal, to do phenomenal things, to have a phenomenal life. And I'm born to win, designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, endowed with the seeds of greatness. And because after all, as I think it was Ethel Waters that Zig quoted, God don't make no junk. Remember that a phenomenal person is remarkable, extraordinary, has control over their thoughts and emotions, they're focused, they're inspired, they're diligent, and they're disciplined. And in Born to Win, Zig Ziglar said this. He said, he had a whole chapter on this in the Born to Win book. I encourage you to go back and read through that and dig for the gold. He said that successful people know what they want. And remember that the thing that holds us back more than anything else is a poor self-image. Zig Ziglar said the greatest single cause of a poor self-image, which is what holds us back from success, is the absence of unconditional love. Know that God loves you unconditionally. And remember this, that you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind. Remember that thoughts are seeds. Your imagination, your psyche, your brain, your mind, your heart is an incredible, fertile environment. So watch your thoughts. Kill those negative seeds and only let the good stuff in. I'm Howard Partridge. My passion is your phenomenal success. And we will keep you posted on, we're going to do every other Wednesday. And someone pointed out that the fifth Wednesday would be a 777 day or something like that. And that's typical me. I don't look at that kind of stuff, but Michelle and Victoria will get it all fixed up for us and we'll be good to go, even if we need to do the last session on a different day or something like that. Okay. We did record this today, so you can replay it in the future as soon as we get it posted. And thank you for your support, because this is what makes it all happen. Your support makes it all happen. Take care, everybody. Appreciate you.